Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. All right, in about 20 minutes, Nikki Walcott from the Washington Post is going to join us. Nikki covers high school sports, been covering this Hayfield High School mess in Virginia. I'm fascinated to hear kind of the real facts on this and how it's caught up in the courts and really how many of these kids are getting screwed. I tell you what's wild. Did you hear? So they had the playoffs set because they suspended Hayfield, yeah. Right? And then they reinstated Hayfield at the last second. So one team got screwed. It was Robinson High School. Shout out to Pat Wickstead. He's a Robinson alma mater, alma alum. Do you know what their record was?
3-7.
Yeah. They didn't really get screwed.
Yeah, no, they didn't get screwed.
You shouldn't have been in.
You probably shouldn't have been in the playoffs at all. But ultimately, listen, bro, the adults have screwed this whole thing up. That's what the whole problem is right there.
Yeah, totally.
It has nothing to do with the kids, okay? But no.
Somebody's getting paid.
Let me
somewhere.
Flip this on you. Yeah, these kids knew too. The kids that knew the kids came from somewhere else and knew they played at a school last year, they've had conversations. Hell, their parents knew, okay? The kids that – we got three freedoms based off of what I'm looking at right here. One is in Woodbridge area. One is in Prince William County over there, like Manassas. And another one is supposedly like Chantilly area. None of them is in Alexandria. I know that, right? And if you live in, if you are going to a school in Alexandria, you live in any of those other areas, you're not supposed to be in that school district. Let's just look at it that way.
I just don't understand why this coach didn't start coaching at a private school, and then none of this would be, I don't know if illegal is the wrong term, but it's certainly immoral in the public school where you're supposed to live in the district. Yeah. We're going to talk to Nikki Walcott about that. B., I think this, not that much makes you nervous, but I don't think you're going to like this.
What?
Commanders are the biggest favorites in the NFL this weekend.
Jay, I don't look at that type of stuff.
But you don't like it?
Really, I could care less about what the point spread is. I don't like when people go, oh, man, there's no way we lose this game. It's always a way to lose a game.
I'm looking at this now, and they are... The Commanders right now are 10.5-point favorites over Dallas on Sunday at 1 o'clock. The Chiefs are a bigger favorite. They are 11-point favorites against the Panthers Sunday at 1 o'clock. I mean, I don't know that Ahmed's going to accept it, but when he asked me for my weekend parlay pick, it's going to be hard to not take the Panthers plus 11.
Who are you playing?
Team in Kansas City.
That team might come together this week.
They also they've won 9 games, don't get me wrong, but they win them tight. They win them late.
Yeah, okay. If you pick the Panthers, they probably going to lose.
I had a decent weekend last week.
They may lose, but they're going to lose big.
I tell you what, I am open. I'm going to MGM tonight. We'll be hanging in the sports book. We're doing a podcast event. Everybody's welcome to come. It's going to be a fun night. We're going to do a live taping of our monumental show. I am going to take the Browns plus the 3.5 tonight. I understand people probably won't want to ride with me on that. I am open to a player prop. If anybody has any recommendation, I want one player prop that all
Nick
the
Chubb
boys
playing tonight
that all the boys can bet
Nick
on.
Nick Chubb playing, take a TD.
Anytime TD for Nick Chubb.
Yeah,
all right.
If he's playing tonight,
I could be. He's playing over under 52.5 rush yards. Nick Chubb anytime touchdown is plus 145. I don't hate that. I kind of like George Pickens for an anytime touchdown at plus 200. But I wanted to ask you a question. Because a lot of people are asking me this, and I don't know if I have the answer. Jaden said he's wearing the heating pads to stay warm. Mm-hmm. I think it's possible that's related to the injury, to keep the ribs warm, to keep the blood flowing in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's also possible he's just cold and wants to stay warm. What do you make of This is a Southern California kid. Especially Inland Empire is hot. Like, when you get over those, I think it's the San Gabriel Mountains, it is warm. You're basically in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
So you go from, you grow up in Southern California, then you go to Arizona. You and I were there. It's hot there. It was 115 when we played golf.
Yeah.
Then you go to Louisiana. Not to say Louisiana doesn't get far more temperate than the other two, but it doesn't really get cold. We did see him against the Bears, I think, wearing like the head warmer. It was 55 degrees. Like, it wasn't that cold. That could have been a style thing too. Who knows?
Yeah.
What do you make of Jaden doesn't like the cold? I think it looks like he doesn't look like the cold.
Nobody likes the cold.
But
you get past it.
What
though.
Do you make of that mattering?
I don't think it necessarily will matter over time. I think what it is, once you get on the field, it's a different ball game. When you're on the sideline, you learn how to figure it out to stay, keep yourself warm. Hell, I came from Louisiana. I was in Louisiana all my life. Then I came here. And Monty Coleman cut my sleeves off, you know, and I haven't worn sleeves since then. So you will get used to it. But when you first get there, nobody – hell, Tanner played 14 years, New York and here. He still hates the cold.
From Miami.
And did he play well?
And he played
so,
in Miami.
I mean, listen, I think that's a stretch to be – I don't think it's the fact that he don't like cold. I'm telling you, those ribs are being kept warm.
You think that's a blood flow thing? Like just
– just it's just a keeping them – because one thing, you know, if you ever had a rib injury and you sit around and it gets cold, when you stand up and go to stretch, it hurts. Okay? You keep it already all limber and stuff. You don't have those problems. But you don't want to sit around and just let yourself get stiff. As I told you earlier when we were in the break, everyone talks about inflammation and things like that in the body.
Totally.
When you got inflammation anywhere, you may not see swelling, but if you have inflammation, it hurts. So what happens normally when you have some level of an injury somewhere or bruising? It's inflammation around there. It hurts. So if you let it get too cold, it hurts. You got to keep things warm, keep it moving.
Just, I mean, you never want to oversimplify what those guys do, because playing professional football is an unrealistic physical activity for 99% of the population. Like, it's just, it's a different world, what you were able to accomplish with these guys. But you can compare it to your own life with some kind of just trivial matters. Like, when it's cold out, and just say you're throwing the football around as a kid, and when it's cold out and the ball just hits your finger, it hurts way worse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what, like, it's not that different than when you were a kid playing football, if you played high school football or something. It was just harder to get going in the cold, but once you go, you're playing.
You're playing. Once you start. Like, I play golf and do other things up here with a lot of people who grew up here. You know what? One thing about those people that grew up here, they don't like the cold either.
Bro, I'm from here.
People act as if you grew up in the cold, oh, you love the cold. Straight BS. I know people from New York, Canada. They don't like the damn cold.
Why do you think people from Canada move to Florida?
Exactly. So it's amazing to me, like, people try to, oh, yeah, he's from down south. He's from that place. He's not going to like the cold. You don't like the cold.
I mean, there's literally decades worth of population information, like in the United States Census, mm-hmm. that shows people are moving from northern climates to southern climates. Maybe it's taxes and unions and blah, 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 but it's also just weather.
When people show up to these football games, they're not dressed like, oh, I grew up in the cold, it's not bothering me.
Right.
And the ones that you see that dress like that, they normally have internal alcohol rub in them. Okay. You don't see a sober person with his shirt off, right? You don't see a sober person when it's 20 degrees with a shirt like I may have on right now. They have on a lot of stuff. And what do a lot of people who sit in those stands bring? They bring blankets.
Right.
So when they're sitting down, they got blankets. When they're moving around, they don't have the blanket. What's wrong with the quarterback when he's not moving around to keep himself warm? I used to take the jacket and put it on backwards. And then sit on the bench. All the heat stays under the jacket. Once you take it off, you throw it down, you're on the field. You don't need to worry about it at that point.
Yeah, I also think there are extremes, right? When the Chiefs and the Dolphins played in Kansas City in the division round last year.
That was cold.
That was like minus six temp. And then wind chill was minus 30.
And there was a guy out there without a shirt on.
Right. And
he was drunk.
Right. For sure.
Let's be real.
But what I'm saying is like that has an impact on a ball game.
Yeah.
You get snow or freezing rain or something. There are things that have an impact on a ball game. I don't think Jaden played. I was in Philly last Monday night. It was chilly, but it was probably like 45, 50 degrees. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't think it was.
Listen, man, if you're moving around, 20 degrees feel like 70. When you sit down on the sideline, 20 degrees feel like minus 20. You got to find a way to keep it level. Like, people will tell you, if you're inside, like, you know, people be wearing their jackets inside and stuff like that?
Yeah.
And then they walk outside, they go, oh, it's cold. Why? Because your body adjusted to the jacket being inside. And then when you go outside, now it's extremely cold for you.
Right.
If you had taken that jacket off and had on your regular shirt, then when you walk outside to put your jacket on, you wouldn't be as cold. So it's just a mind thing.
Yeah, I agree with that, man. I think Commanders fans are just reaching, and maybe not just fans, media, analysts, coaches, everybody, who knows. Everyone is just reaching for an answer to why they've lost two in a row, and nobody wants the answer to be the Steelers and the Eagles were just better.
That could be the answer.
The Steelers game they gave away. Yeah, offensively, they had a double-digit lead in the third quarter and generated two turnovers defensively, and they didn't score. They got one first down off two turnovers. That's your problem. Not about cold or ribs.
Did anybody call in and say anything about his ribs or hurt after the Steelers game?
No. I don't. It was about the drops.
Because people were dropping balls. He was putting everything on the money. Then the Eagles game come around. Now we want to tie these two games together. The two games aren't together. The production was different in both of those in those games. So how about we just deal with the Eagle game? He may have been still sore, but there were a lot of other people who were supposed to protect him that were sore. And after you get hit a couple times, you know what people don't like to do? Step into stuff when they got a guy coming to hit him.
Yeah.
And a lot of balls that were thrown when he wouldn't step into it had somebody coming in his face.
It is hard to look at the stats and not notice a big change after that Panther game, right, where he got hit, both in the accuracy and the yardage. But the Bears game with the Hail Mary, when you connect on a – what was that, a 65-yarder to finish the game? It's going to make your stats look way better from a yardage standpoint. I just think you don't want to get – I just want to get through this weekend, and if it goes the way it should, then everything chills out and the conversation changes. I also want to wish a happy birthday to our guy Steven Danzy, Crown Royal Steve from Philly, that we smoked some cigars with, B. Happy birthday, Steve. I think – the best thing for people specific to this Jaden Daniels situation is you just want to gather as much information as you can and then make your own determination without going crazy,
and
without
on.
Being unrealistic, and without just letting emotion dictate your move. And I think for people that are looking to maybe buy or sell a house, the best thing you can do is to talk to John Leahy, because what he can do is provide you the information you need to make a decision about what's best for you and your family.
Just like John and Catherine when they were retiring and preparing to move upstate New York, the one thing complicating matters was the fact that they were afraid they wouldn't be able to sell their Silver Spring home while attempting to buy their next one. Leave it to John Leahy and the Fine Living Group to save the day. Not only did they get it sold in just 13 days, they were also able to sell it for $730,000, which was $5,000 over the asking price. Looking for your own stress-free transaction? How about a guarantee offer on your home? Check out those details and more at johnsellsdmv.com. That's John without an H, J-O-N. We're talking about John Leahy and the Fine Living Group of eXp Realty. John offers you flexible fees, customized to your needs, and he knows that life happens. So if needed, he will let you out of your contract at any time.
And think about this. If you want to sell your house, but you know you need a little bit of upgrades, a little bit of upkeep, maybe repair a few things, talk to John. Don't give up. Because here's what John can do. He can come through your house. You guys talk through it. What's going to make your home look the best? What's going to make your home irresistible for buyers? And then you can figure out the money. He can loan you up to $50,000 to make the repairs and upgrades you need that would make your house irresistible to buyers and in turn get you more money. And then you just settle up with John for the money at closing. That could be super, super helpful. I would call John today if you're thinking about a real estate move. Call him, 301-900-3052. Go online to johnsellsdmv.com. Or what's even easier, just Google John Leahy Group and start.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Packing. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Just getting warmed up. It's about 11:30 on Thursday. It is a Bleep You Thursday. We'll get to that a little later in the program. You're also going to hear from Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt. But right now, I'm really excited. Young man, reporter for the Washington Post, that's been doing a really good job on what is a fascinatingly weird story. Nikki Walcott joins us now. Nikki covers high school sports for the Washington Post. And obviously, Nikki, things have gotten really busy for you. Get us up to speed on everything going on with Hayfield High School.
Of course. Thanks for having me on. And yeah, busy might be a bit of an understatement. I'm sure some people are kind of aware of the situation right now. It stretches back to February when, you know, Coach Darryl Overton, who led Freedom Woodbridge to back-to-back Virginia Classic state titles, moved to Hayfield. After that, you kind of saw some players from that team start to transfer to Hayfield over the summer and during that spring. And yeah, a VHSL investigation found that 24 total student athletes transferred into Hayfield, 14 of which were from Freedom Woodbridge, where Overton previously coached. And, you know, all season,
24 transfers. Hold on, 24 transfers? How many kids are on a high school football team?
24 people don't go to one school without something being coerced.
How many kids are on the team? 40?
A bit more than that. Their roster is pretty big. I'd say about 60 or 70. But a lot of Virginia, you know, Northern Virginia high school teams only have about 40 or 50 kids on their team.
Okay, gotcha. Please continue.
Yeah. And so, you know, FCPS initially, you know, cleared all the players in the program of any wrongdoing. You know, on the Monday before when the season started in August, it kind of went quiet for a while. And then the VHSL, you know, in late October, kind of conducted its own investigation and handed, you know, Hayfield a 2-year playoff ban. And that was confirmed the day of the final day of the regular season, November 8th, after, you know, two rounds of appeals from Hayfield. And so the league essentially decided to give them that ban based on, you know, proselytizing, which is, you know, applying undue influence to get student athletes to transfer. And then last Friday, a lawyer representing a group of 9 Hayfield football student athletes, you know, filed an injunction on that Friday, on earlier that week. On that Friday, a judge granted the injunction, and Hayfield, after being, you know, banned from the playoffs, out of the playoff picture, just 3 hours before the first round of playoffs was set to start in Northern Virginia, was inserted back into the playoffs, and games were postponed literally 3 hours from when they were supposed to start to today.
That is so absurd, and the adults involved need to be so embarrassed. Mm-hmm. Like, when did it become clear that there was a problem, that Fairfax County started looking into everything?
it was early this summer, and you know, parents and some people in the region, probably people who have, you know, direct ties to these football teams, whether that be parents or student athletes, they've been aware of the story, you know, since then, since, you know, June, July. I know our first story on it was in August when FCPS actually brought, you know, had basically a town hall almost of sorts to announce the findings of their own investigation, and that cleared Hayfield of any wrongdoing and set them up to play this during the regular season this year.
So was it just a fake investigation? Like how did they not crack that code?
Nikki, this is a question I would ask. Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
24 people. Okay, there are several Freedom High Schools in Virginia.
Yeah.
Based off of what I'm looking at on this online. This is the Freedom High School where? In Manassas or Woodbridge?
In Woodbridge.
Okay. If people were going to Freedom in Woodbridge and they were eligible to go to Freedom in Woodbridge, based off of where they're living, I'm not a person that knows about all every little area, but I would think that they would not be eligible to go to Alexandria to go to school at Hayfield.
Yeah, and so presumably the VHSL investigation found is that they had established residency in Fairfax County, which it does seem kind of absurd to have that many players move across county lines and establish residency there. I will say also, all the players that played this season, which a lot of those players did play for Hayfield, the VHSL did also clear them eligibility-wise, which usually also has to do they also do their own residency tests and stuff like that. So it does sound pretty absurd, but the fact that the VHSL also cleared them is an interesting kind of part of this story.
All right, we are talking with Nikki Walcott from the Washington Post, covers high school sports. Nikki, high school sports is usually a great entryway into a newsroom for a sports reporter, and you just cover state championships. Now, all of a sudden, you've got this huge national controversy over what is kind of turning into like a miniature, oh my God, is the transfer portal coming to high school sports? Like, is that what this feels like? Is that is the defense of, yo, just let the kids play because college kids are doing it?
I've seen a lot of people kind of say that in defense that, you know, they're comparing it to the college transfer portal and things of that nature. I don't know if that's a really fair comparison to make at the high school sports level. But you do look at the landscape now, and it's not as surprising that, you know, people might be more willing to do this, you know. And from a Hayfield football, you know, student athletes, parents' perspective, you know this coach has put players, they've gotten them scholarship offers. He led them to multiple state titles. Like, if I move across county lines to follow him, you know, is that a sacrifice worth making for my kid? And honestly, from a legal perspective, you know, I don't know how fairly you can kind of judge that. And it's easy to compare it to the college level, but it's a whole different meaning to that from both perspectives, to where, well, you can't just, you know, have students move across county lines to go to a different school. But at the same time, if the parents aren't willing to make those sacrifices and are kind of getting them into these schools fairly from a residency standpoint, it's kind of hard to be like, well, parents aren't allowed to move their families.
But how about the kids that were there that were moved out of their positions and didn't get a chance to actually play? I'm sure there's some kids out there that's a little pissed off, and some parents that are pissed off. But the Fairfax County, was a superintendent?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Reed.
Michelle Reed, I think her name. She said that we're going to change things moving forward so this won't happen again. If you don't want it to happen again, you're telling me right there that something happened that was wrong.
Yeah,
you messed up.
And if you're moving forward and you're changing things, then why are you changing if it wasn't wrong?
I found that very interesting that, you know, that today, and it seems like all of the, I know JP kind of mentioned the adults in the room earlier and how they should kind of feel about themselves right now. And in pretty much every scenario, these organizations have left things until the last moment to seemingly get the outcome that's easiest for them, whether that be the VHSL banning Hayfield on literally the last day of the regular season, FCPS, clearing them the week before the regular season started, And now, you know, FCPS kind of announcing that we're going to change things going forward after, and something like this shouldn't happen again when they were fine with it the whole time and haven't really said that anything wrong happened. I agree. I did find that very interesting. And this week certainly has been very interesting with the amount FCPS has had to communicate now. We're certainly in a weird kind of time now that the court, it's kind of in the court's hands and we're kind of at an impasse.
I wish I was
nothing like high school.
I wish I was
in
more of
an
investigative reporter where I would love to know that 24 kids, I don't know if some of them live in the same house and their parents moved just to go to another high school in the middle. Just let's go over here with this coach.
Right.
I doubt if that seriously happened.
Now, a couple of people are telling me that this dude Overton has been running youth football programs, so a lot of these kids want to play for him, and that's great. Mm-hmm. Why doesn't he go coach at a Virginia private school where all of this would be completely normal and no one would bat an eye?
Yeah. I mean, that's a great question. I would have the same question for him probably because, there are certainly private schools in the area that probably had more transfers than Hayfield did this summer.
Yeah, but it's legal for the private school. It's not legal for the other one, so that's the whole thing, the legality of it.
What happens next? Is Hayfield in? Are they going to win this damn thing? Like, is there a school from Norfolk that might beat them? What happens next?
Yeah, Hayfield's in. They're playing tonight. I know local coaches, a lot of them kind of in that region, threatened to forfeit before meeting with FCPS and that letter coming out yesterday. As far as I'm aware, and from what I saw this morning, all games are a go tonight. And I'd say they're probably favorites for the Classics title. There is a team, Oscar Smith, from further down in Virginia. That's great. There's some other really good teams in this region, such as Madison and Battlefield, that can certainly challenge them. But I'd say that now that they're back in, they're certainly one of the favorites to win.
All right, last one. Nikki Walcott, Washington Post. Give him a follow at Nikki Walcott, NikkyWolcott. Last one. How are my BCC Barons doing? They're still going in the playoffs, right? I'm going to Maryland now. Sorry to switch.
Nikki, like, man, Tim, you don't talk about no Maryland.
I mean, I'm from Maryland, so
Atta boy.
Maryland schools for a second. I know we have multiple BCC people on staff that have kept an eye on them as well. So. They're doing well so far,
but they're playing QO.
In other words, you're gonna lose. Yeah.
Would they be like three touchdown underdogs in this thing? Like what are we talking about?
That might be a bit kind, but yeah, I'll give them the
benefit of the doubt. Whoa, y'all gonna be more than three touchdowns underdogs?
Yo, let's check all the addresses of these QO kids. All right, Nikki, thank you for the time, bro.
Nikki, appreciate you, brother.
Of course, thanks for having me on. Have a good one.
All right, man.
All right. Nikki Walcott covers high school sports for the Washington Post.
Adults, don't screw up high school sports for these damn kids, please.
Dude, seriously. Overton is clearly a good coach. Clearly, he knows how to develop talent. They got kids going D1 all over the place. Yo, Bishop Ireton or Paul the Sixth, somebody call this dude, hire him, start winning in the WCAC. The Virginia schools in the Catholic League have figured out how to compete and be the best in basketball. Figure it out in football. Hire this guy. There's obviously money floating around. Somebody figure it out.
Somebody
it's not that complicated. Here's what we're doing. We're buying cars from Orsman Automotive of Virginia. I have bought four cars from those guys. I bought from Biagi at the Chevy Buick GMC store, and I bought three Toyotas from Garve at the Orsman Fairfax Toyota store. I looked at a Jeep, but my wife ended up wanting a bigger car, and we got the Toyota Sequoia. I'm telling you, I know all of these people. I know the general managers, the salespeople. Jaime Manassas calls us weekly. That's our guy.
Yeah.
Working with them is different, and you can buy a car anywhere you want. Working with them is different because of the people involved. They treat you like family, and that's why me and Brian keep going back.
That's the main thing. I go over there, and I can sit down. I can talk to people in sales. I can talk to people over in service. I can talk to people over there that leave the management. I know people personally. I've been going there for a long time. I passed four cars about 8 years ago. I had three daughters and I had to go buy everybody a car. But you know what? They give you the lifetime edge as well. They give you up to $1,500 in extras, including complimentary car washes with every scheduled maintenance. They give you loaner cars with every major maintenance, and they have the Orsman lifetime engine guarantee. And if you want to sell a car, you take it to Orsman. They'll give you up to 125% of the Kelley Blue Book value, regardless of its make, model, or year. It's very simple at Orsman. They like to keep their customers happy. Take it from JP and I, two beyond satisfied Orsman customers, and let's ride together.
Let's ride.
All right, B. Mr. Philly, 106.7 The Fan, coming to you live from Ashburn at Commanders Park. Joe Witt was talking to the media, and we get a chance to get that. We'll bring it to you. JP stepped out to go there, but, you know, a lot of different things going on. We talked a little bit about the high school, but let's get back to this whole thing about Dallas Week and what's going on, and people wondering if Jaden Daniels is hurt or not hurt or whatever. The ultimate thing is it's football, people, okay? People get banged up, they get nicked up, and they move through it. I don't think that he'll be on the football field if he was totally hurt where he can't play. The last game, I will tell you, I saw a lot of different things. I saw a lot of people being hurt. But ultimately, you still stay on the football field. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to go to Joe Witt right now, who's talking to the media over at Ashburn Park.
He can produce at a high level. He's a guy that has tremendous bend and balance around the corner. The thing that we talked about going into this year is finishing on the quarterback. The past couple years, his sack numbers haven't been as high. He's won. He's beat the tackle. He just hasn't controlled and finished on the quarterback. And I give all that credit to Ryan Kerrigan, all right? He's done just a heck of a job taking Dante. And once you get past the tackle, control to the quarterback and finish. That's really what he's worked with him for a long time, and it's showing in the production that Dante's having. So that's all Ryan right there.
Do you take notes when you're in these like cross the hall meetings about what you're telling other coaches, or is it just, hey, I remember I told Kellen this? Or
I have my whole presentation. I have every presentation since I was in college, so I went back and looked at the presentation. I have everything. Yeah,
and you do that regularly.
When I'm playing somebody that I know, yes, because I know, like if I've coached with you, yeah. I want to know exactly what I've told you. So if you're going to try to hit me on it, at least we can prepare for it, you know. And so, like Kellen, let's put for example the sack that Oos had, Frankie Louvre. Everybody asked me who Oos is. That's Frankie, okay? All right. San Fran hit the same. Go back and look at it. San Fran hit the same. They tried the same trick play last year and beat us. They scored a touchdown on it. All right. In the same area against a fire zone. Well, I ran a fire zone right there, but I ran a different one. We didn't, and we sacked him because I figured he was going to copy that play. Well, he did the same thing. So it's just a chess match back and forth. Sometimes I get him, sometimes they get us. That's just what it is, you know.
Is that something you learned from someone, or you just have always done that?
It's just being in NFL football. I mean, that's just is what it is. I mean, that's why we, like Mike Thomas said, that's why we get paid what we get paid. It is what it is.
Hey, good afternoon, Coach.
How you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Mikey Sanders still obviously has been very impressive. What is, if you can isolate one thing, like what's impressed you the most about him on the outside, and how does that kind of fold in or factor into Marshawn Lattimore as he works his way onto the field?
Mikey is just a high-level competitor. That's what's impressed me the most. He doesn't shy away from anybody that's in front of him. We asked the young man to play inside and outside early. And for the betterment of the defense, I say, okay, we're going to put you to the field, all right, and you're going to stay there. And he's made it at home, and he just looks really good, comfortable, understand the checks. He's not playing like a rookie, and he doesn't communicate like a rookie. If you've talked to the young man, he's very polished, he's very mature, and so. But just the way his competitive spirit is what I'm most impressed with. With Marshawn, when Marshawn comes, then we'll make those decisions right there. I haven't thought about that until he's been available.
And then kind of the flip side of the advantage-disadvantage conversation, Doran's kind of shared with us that he knows all those offensive linemen in Dallas, and he's going to share some tips with guys. Mm-hmm. How much of an advantage can that give your side of the ball?
I think it gives us some of advantage, you know, because he's lined up and played those guys. He knows, you know, how to, you know, work them and what they like, what they don't like. So it gives them an advantage.
Hi, Coach.
Hey.
Could you talk a little bit about what you like of what you're seeing up front with the pass rush over these last few weeks?
You know, the pass rush, like I said, you know, they've rushed as a unit, and that's what I really like. When you add Frankie to the rush with Dante and D.A., Payne, all those guys, they rush as a unit. There's not a selfish guy that's getting out of his rush lane just because I think I can win. And the times that has happened, we haven't won. We've let the quarterback out. And so and we point that out, that if you're going to be selfish, the blitz is not going to work because it's put together in a way that we want to put a wave at the quarterback. We don't have independent contractors. If that's the case, we'll just rush four, and now you can just cut it loose and go.
All right, that's Joe Witt talking to the media out here at Commanders Park. The B-Mitchell Friendly Show is brought to you by Rood HVAC Equipment. Head over to Rood.com to find a contractor near you and available tax credits and rebates. That's R-U-U-D. And remember, if it ain't Rood, it ain't right. We'll be right back.